Hi, Creed. Could you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Absolutely. My name is Creed Revere, and I am an estrangement and reconciliation coach.
Wonderful. And where are you based?
Out of Seattle, Washington, in the U.S.
If it's all right with you, I'd love to just dive straight into the conversation. You have your own experience with estrangement. You have your entire podcast on estrangement as well. Mm-hmm. But for those who don't know, would you mind giving us a brief overview of what your experience with estrangement has been?
Yeah, absolutely. Personal and professional. So I am a formerly estranged mom of two adult children. I am also a formerly estranged adult child. So at one period in my life, or a couple of different periods in my life, I was estranged from my mom. So personally, I've had experiences on both sides of the parent adult-child fence, if you will. And then I have the professional experience in working with estranged moms, and particularly estranged moms. I do work with a few estranged dads and estranged adult children, and helping them to manage either their estrangement and or reconciliation, or working towards reconciliation.
And if you were comfortable, would you be able to take me or take us through the time in your life where your daughters ceased contact with you for a period of time? What did that look like? What was that timeline like?
That happened January of 2016. It was about a week or two before I realized something was amiss and something was not right. I wasn't ever a parent that was in constant contact with my children. So a couple times a week, we would, you know, send a text back and forth or something along those lines, a phone call. And about a week or two went by, and I realized, I haven't heard from them. And so I reached out, texted, no return text. I called, no return phone call. And then I got on social media and realized I had been blocked from everything on social media. And that is when I had the realization of what was actually happening. I didn't know at the time that that was estrangement. I had never heard the word estrangement, or not to my recollection. And all I knew was that I was not able to reach my children. And I went into absolute panic. A whole host of emotions come up with that. Never experienced anything like that in my life. And when I had the realization that this is, my kids do not want to talk to me. I don't have any other children, so they were my only children. It really, really devastated me. And that period of time, I was estranged from my one daughter for about a year and the other daughter for about 2 years. And during that 1 and 2 year time period, I was in contact minimally during that time period, and most of it was by email and not phone calls for the most part. And it was very nasty emails was basically what I was, the communication I was getting back. That was my definition of it from my girls. So it was, and so I would receive an email and then I would back completely off because I was just so hurt from that kind of thing. So I mean, it wasn't a complete and total cut off, but it was certainly not anything healthy or resembling what we had had in the past.
Did it come as a surprise to you that you went from 1 week really, I haven't heard much from them, to realizing that you were blocked?
I was completely surprised at that moment in time. Looking back, I absolutely see that there were signs that were leading up to that. But in the moment, I thought, what on earth has happened? I just was completely blindsided. That's how it felt to me.
Mm. You've expressed panic. What other feelings did you have at that time?
Looking back now, I really feel like I was going through a lot of the similar things you go through in any grief process. In the beginning, I was very angry. Very, very angry. Why won't they talk to me? Why I don't understand what is happening? I was so unbelievably frustrated. And I'm the type of person who gets a lot of meaning out of life when I can make sense of things and understand. I may not agree with it or like it or those types of things, but I couldn't make heads or tails out of this. I often describe it as being in a room, windowless room. The door is shut and the light is off and it's completely black and you don't know which end is up, just complete disorientation. And then that quickly went into shame. Oh my gosh, what does this mean? If you're a mother and your children want nothing to do with you, I must be a horrible, horrible person that my children don't want to talk to me. You know, I've always thought in my life, I know that my parents will one day leave me. They will pass away and move on. And we have relationships and people leave our lives, friendships and things like that. But I always thought my children were the constant, that my children would always be in my life. And so when they exited by choice, that just destroyed the foundation of everything that I thought I knew in the world. So it was really life altering for me. And it was hard. It was very difficult to come out of that. And I even had some of that even after we reconciled, I mean, in the guilt and things like that. So there's lots of emotions tied up in that.
I am curious about how you navigated those emotions. I think especially the earlier ones of anger and frustration, where those are complex and also very conflict-driven feelings. Mm-hmm. How did you manage those feelings in that time? Looking back, do you feel you kind of did everything the way that you wanted to do, or were there some learnings through the process?
Oh, no, I did not respond in healthy ways at all. It was completely that primal self-preservation, pointing the finger at them. This was all their fault. That kind of thing. What got me through all of that and being able to navigate moving through it instead of getting stuck in those feelings was really my therapist. I was in therapy. So I was in therapy at the time the estrangement occurred, but for different reasons. And then when the estrangement occurred, then I shifted gears and started focusing on the estrangement piece and navigating that experience through therapy. There wasn't a tip or a trick or a tool that she gave me. It was really her sitting with me and allowing me to have the feelings that I was having without shaming me. She told me I was human. These were natural feelings that I was feeling, and just allowed them to exist. You know, I think that we as human beings, I know that the few friends I had at the time were really quick to want to come in and, due to some of their own uncomfortableness, wanting me to stop the big feelings I was having, right? They also wanted to protect me and help me to feel better. They wanted me to feel better and things like that. But it wasn't super helpful because they were telling me to not be so angry and all of these things. And I was like, but this is such a huge emotion. I have to feel this. And I was able to do that safely in the therapy room.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to find any other resources to lean on to help you outside of therapy?
Yeah. So I had three grandchildren at the time, and that is what really prompted me to get to searching for answers and things like this, because I was told that I could not have any contact with my grandchildren at all. And so I started seeking out what happens when you're grandchildren have been taken from your life. And I ended up coming across an organization out of Florida, and I started a group chapter from that organization here in Seattle. And it was through that organization that I met other moms, other grandparents specifically, and then started navigating towards just the parents who were from the estrangement piece as opposed to the grandchildren piece. Mm-hmm. We met often, regularly. And I was able to see that I wasn't the only person, because that's how I felt in the beginning, was like I was the only person on the planet, only parent on the planet who was experiencing that. So being in the company of others who were going through something very similar, if not the exact same thing as myself, was really helpful.
Mm-hmm. And in your work since with counseling both children and parents, fathers, mothers, in this regard, how do you feel about what is ultimately their choice to choose to walk away? Do you have any advice on navigating that really difficult thing?
I feel vastly different about it now than I did when I was in my own estrangement experience. I am a firm believer, and I work when I'm working with parents, that I try my best to relay to them, everybody has a choice here. And just as a parent has their choice to walk away, so does the child. And we can't control another person, and we have to manage our own life and our own choices. And if someone else makes a choice that we do not think is right, or we don't want the choice that they've made, then that is something for us to navigate those feelings around that. Mm-hmm. And not trying to force an issue that some, you know, a decision someone else has made.
Did you receive any advice yourself at that time where you were still figuring it out, either from a therapist or from a resource?
I received advice, but I don't, it was not healthy advice. It was not good advice, in my opinion.
What
again,
was
looking
that?
Back now, it was, you know, let them be. If they want to be ungrateful little brats, let them be. And I was like, that just doesn't set well with me, right? I think through my therapy process, I realized I might not have been able to have articulated it at the time, but I think that I realized there was something beneath the surface that was happening to cause all the things that were happening that didn't make sense on the surface, that to everyone else in general was like, what on earth? This is just so unfair. This is not right. All of those things that I heard, thinking there has to be an answer here that I'm not getting. And that is what really was the catalyst for me diving all into the world of estrangement and really trying to figure out what is happening here, because nothing really set right with me. I never felt comfortable being around other estranged parents who were bashing their children. It just never felt right to me.
A big part of your work is helping or attempting to help both sides see that there is that underlying thing that is not being communicated effectively. In those moments of fear, frustration, grief, anger, it can be incredibly difficult to actually communicate what is really happening. A lot of the time, the person who is experiencing those feelings doesn't even know where those feelings are coming from. So, you know, what advice, you know, from your own experience, what advice do you have to mothers who've been in situations like you have on how to actually do that? Because it's one thing to say, look below the surface, and you happen to be a person who was able to, but as you mentioned, there are other parents bashing. Do you have any tools for actually tapping into that part of the truth or your truth?
I think it comes back to support and feeling like you have support that's not in your, what I call your echo chamber. So someone that's not going to feed you all the things that you want to hear, but support that shows up and says, I'm here with you, and I'm going to be here with you as you navigate this and as you unearth this. Getting curious is another huge piece. And when you're in the middle of the intensity when estrangement first occurs, because there are stages of estrangement, meaning your experience of the estrangement. I've been able to kind of put a timeline together, if you will, for most people. Like generally the first 4 to 6 months, it's just this complete and utter disbelief and, you know, really strong, intense emotions. And when you're in the middle of that, it's next to impossible to excavate anything. I mean, we just don't have it. We're in such a state of shock and going through the grief process and all the stages of grief that it's difficult to do, you know, have some cognitive wherewithal to be able to excavate anything. But when you can get past that those first initial months and you get beyond that, having a support system, whether it's a therapist, whether it's a coach, whether it's a support group that can help you to become curious in a way that's non-judgmental is really helpful. For me, I dove into books. I started trying to, at the time I didn't have, there were, well, I think there was one podcast that was out about estrangement, and I started tapping into that and really just trying to learn. And, but that came from a sense of deep curiosity that I naturally have. So it was important to me to find community, and then to have curiosity was those were the two biggest pieces for me.
And to clarify, that curiosity was only something that you were able to properly tap into when you it, not hazed by
Correct.
This confusion, anger, frustration, grief. You had to process that, feel that, be allowed to exist in that space before you could take next steps.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
You mentioned a podcast. You also have your own podcast, The Estranged Heart, with close on 80 episodes. In it, a lot of it is you sharing, but there are also episodes where you reflect on resources or you have a guest on. Have there been any major learnings for yourself as you continue to build your relationship with your children? Have there been any learnings through these conversations that you've had? And if yes, what are they?
I don't think we can go through life without learning. I mean, whether we were aware of it or not, we're always learning, right? A couple things and that have stuck out to me. Number one is estrangement happens more often than any of us realize. It's actually quite prevalent. The studies that have been out typically say anywhere between 25 and 28% of the population is estranged. I happen to think it's probably closer to 50%. I think it's closer to that number because there's a number of people that don't even talk about it because of the shame that's involved with it. So it happens. It's much more common than we realize. I think that there's similar feelings on both sides. I'm often talking about two sides of the same coin. And I see through the work that I've been doing and by talking with my own children, a lot of the feelings that I experienced, they experienced just from different perspectives. And I see that with the moms that I work with and the kids that I work with as well. Very often two sides of the same coin. And I think that there's those feelings of shame is both sides feel that as well. It's not, again, you know, we think we're in our own bubble and we think we're the only ones that is experiencing this as the parent, yet the kids are also experiencing it from their level as well. And I think that the other two pieces is it doesn't come out of the blue. As much as we think that it does, it doesn't. I've not talked to any person who's been estranged yet. And when I talk to them and we go through their story, that we don't find all the signposts along the way that we've missed. Mm-hmm. Again, hindsight being 20/20. And then I think the other piece that has been interesting for me is to really kind of navigate and understand the power differential. I think that comes into play a lot that parents don't understand. I think the kids do more so than the parents. At some point, when we are parents, we think, oh, our children are adults. And so now we can relate to them on adult, you know, adult to adult. And that's just, for the most part, that's just not true. There will always be the power differential. You will always be the parent. They will always be the child. Whether you're 80 and they're 50, it doesn't matter. There will always be that differential in power. And by that alone, it changes the dynamics of the relationship.
You and your daughters have since reconnected.
Correct.
What was that process of reestablishing contact with your daughters like? And if you don't mind me asking, in terms of specificities as well, who sent the first text? Who reached out? Were you very particular about the language you used and the suggestions you made for meeting places and those kinds of things?
That's a great, great question. And I, for the life of me, I think that due to the trauma that I was in as a result of the estrangement, I don't remember the very specific on who. I think it was my daughter who reached out and asked me to lunch, my one daughter. I don't recall. I me having made that phone call, I could be mistaken. This was like 4 months in after the official, quote unquote, official estrangement. And at that point in time, I was so scared. I remember the feeling of, I don't know what to say. I don't know what not to say. It was kind of like I felt like I was in quicksand that had stopped moving for a moment, but I couldn't go forward. I couldn't go back. I didn't right or left. I just was frozen right there. And we met for lunch. I remember driving and parking and thinking, I have to go home. I can't do this. I don't know what to do. Like, I mean, I felt like I was meeting someone for the very first time almost. I just didn't know how to interact with this child of mine that I had known her entire life. It was a very bizarre feeling. That point in time, I was crying all the time. And so I was trying my best to, quote unquote, keep it together during that conversation. And it was difficult. It was very difficult. I mean, she sat very stoic and not emotional that I could see from my perspective. Yeah, it was a very, very challenging hour that we spent together.
How did you leave that hour together?
I left feeling better than I did going into meeting her. I remember feeling like I could breathe again. I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know how this is going to play out, but I no longer feel hopeless.
How many years has it been since you have reconnected with them and reestablished your relationship?
Well, we're working on, 5 and 6 years now.
Okay. And what was that process like for you? You've mentioned that initial lunch. What did it look like after that? How were you with each other? What was your approach to it? And would you be able to walk us through kind of the months that followed?
Yeah. During that time, I felt like I was walking on eggshells. I didn't know. I was very mindful. And when I say mindful, I was mindful to really back off from my normal way of being with people. I was very hesitant to make comments about things, to fully engage in conversation, because I don't want to say the wrong thing that's going to land me back in estrangement. It was uneasy. I remember feeling very tired after we would have any sort of contact, because I was just so mentally exhausted from trying to manage my words and really think about what I was saying and how I was saying it.
So you then have this period of too scared to say anything. Was there a point where you expressed that to your daughter?
Not really. Okay. Because when the three of us all, you know, both of them reconciled with me individually, we were reconciled about 4 and 5 years before we ever sat down to talk about the estrangement. We never had a conversation about anything related to the estrangement after we reconciled until that one conversation. And that came about because my youngest daughter knew of the podcast that I had, and she listened to the podcast, and she's the one that initiated. She said, I think the three of us need to sit down and talk, because I think there's been some miscommunication.
So when you say reconciled, forgive me, to me, reconciliation looks like the three of us sit down and we have this conversation and we talk about it. What does reconciliation look like if you have not spoken about the elephant in the room?
Yeah. Reconciliation, by and large, for most people who are formally estranged and then become reconciled, is just that we are back in each other's lives. It does not mean, by and large, most times those conversations never happen.
Okay. And how did the conversation go when the three of you did eventually, 4 and 5 years later, actually get to sit down and talk?
Yeah, that was another one of those. I was driving and thought, I have to turn around and go home. I can't do this. I thought, they're absolutely going to throw me under the bus and run over me. Like, I just thought I was in for the worst of the worst of the worst. So I arrived and we were at one daughter's house and I just listened. And each one of them shared what they needed to share with me. And I made apologies where I needed to make apologies, where they asked for apologies. I made apologies and I meant it. It wasn't just lip service. Mm. Because at this point too, I had already been working with different support groups. I was a facilitator for a support group. So I was coming at it from a very different perspective, I think, although it was deeply personal. Mm. And that was about an hour and a half. And then I immediately went to my therapist. I had an appointment with my therapist directly after that meeting. And it was so eye-opening to me because all the reasons that I thought the estrangement occurred, all the things I had built up in my head, and I was completely off base.
Mm. Did you take an opportunity to share your experience with your daughters?
No.
What was your reason for not doing that?
It was an act of choice. It didn't come from a place of I'm the parent and I just need to support. It came from they need to tell their side of the story and now is not the time for me to tell mine. That is exactly what my therapist provided for me. And I know how healing that was for me. And I wanted to be able to extend that to my children.
Mm-hmm. It's a big theme that I'm taking from our conversation is how important giving space and giving time is. Yes. In these situations. As the mother who was once estranged from her children, do you have any other advice, not just for parents experiencing something similar, but the children as well? Is there something that children should know about what that experience is like?
I know that this sounds very cliche and very simplistic, but it really boils down to this for me, and that is, you are human. You are going to experience emotions that maybe you've never experienced. You will have regrets. You will have guilt. You will also have love. The next piece is to get support. And when I say support, I mean find a neutral third party. Because when we are in our echo chamber and people are just telling us all the things we want to hear, it's really difficult, I have found, to make heads or tails out of things and to grow and evolve as a human being. It's important to begin to entertain a different perspective. It doesn't mean you have to agree with it. It doesn't mean you have to take it as gospel and go on about your life. But when we can look at things through a different lens, it just puts a different spin on things. And then it gives us things that we can think about, right? And when we can look at it from that way, it tends to take the charge out of things. And when we can take the charge out of things, the emotions tend to begin to, you know, the flame of emotions isn't so high. It begins to smolder a little bit. And we can begin to see things a little differently. And then I think the next piece of advice I have is to stay curious and be patient. This is not a sprint in any stretch of the imagination. Most parents are so eager to come back into relationship with their children, oftentimes because they're retired or they have less day-to-day responsibilities. And I try to remind them the kids have, you know, they have a career and they have kids and they have all the things, the house to keep, yeah, like all this stuff, right? And so it takes them a little longer generally to come back. And once you've been hurt, it takes a little longer to want to come back. Exercise some patience and develop some curiosity.
That is it from my side, Creed. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat and for sharing your story.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.